Hi, I'm Karin Bos and I'm a Belgian SharePoint MVP. I've been working on Silverlight integration in SharePoint as of the first versions of Silverlight. Together with Patrick Tissigem, I developed a Silverlight blueprint for SharePoint. And recently, I wrote a book chapter on Silverlight integration in SharePoint 2010 in a book that is co-authored by 22 SharePoint MVPs all around the world.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. So today's session is about a Silverlight 4 integration in SharePoint 2010. One of the nice things in SharePoint 2010 is the client object model. When working with Silverlight in 2007, you had to communicate through the web services of SharePoint. This had the disadvantage that you had that a lot of XML was returned and that you had to parse it to have your details rendered in Silverlight. Silverlight can be hosted in all arrays of SharePoint 2010, but in this session, I will explain in detail how you can host Silverlight applications in custom field types and custom list forms. Silverlight is a great tool to develop rich user applications, while SharePoint is a content and collaboration platform. By integrating Silverlight in SharePoint.
Welcome to the Audio Conferencing Center. Please enter a conference ID followed by hash.
Sorry, I'm setting up something, I forgot.
What will you say?
My problem, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Really sorry.
Silverlight can be integrated in SharePoint in almost every area, and the most common area are web parts. SharePoint 2010 even comes with a Silverlight web part that acts like a wrapper web part in which you can host almost every Silverlight application. Less common areas are application pages, master pages, and even navigation controls. And today I will talk about custom field types and custom list forms. SharePoint 2010 comes with three client object models. There is one client object model for the managed .NET applications like WPF. At the other side, there are also the necessary JavaScript files when you want to work with ECMAScript. And today we will talk about the Silverlight client object model, which comes in two different assemblies, the Microsoft SharePoint.client Silverlight DLL and the Microsoft SharePoint Client Silverlight Runtime DLL. The DLLs for the managed.NET applications are deployed to the 14-hive SAPI folder, while the JavaScript files for the ECMA script is located in the layouts folder of the SharePoint hive. Silverlight assemblies can be found in the client bin folder of the layouts folder. When working with the client object model in Silverlight, Silverlight will create a client context for you on one condition that the MSSP URL parameter is passed in the init parameters argument of the Silverlight application. Otherwise, the client object model will not be able to create a client context for you. One thing you should know is that the client object model executes asynchronously and on a different thread. So you will have to take the necessary steps in your code to come back on the UI thread and define the necessary event handlers in case of successful execution and in case of unsuccessful execution. Silverlight can be hosted in custom field types. A custom field type is like a field type in SharePoint that can be defined in different files. A basic custom field type consists of two classes, two files in fact. The definition of the custom field type is done in an XML file, which needs to be prefixed with FLD types. Then you have a class that inherits from SP field, like for example SP field text, and that defines your custom field. If you need some custom rendering, Then you have to add an other class that inherits from base field control. In this case, when you want to render Silverlight application, you will have to include that class. When you need some complex rendering, you can also work with user controls that can be deployed to the control templates folder. Field type is rendered in view and display mode through CAML that needs to be specified in the fieldtypes.xml file. When you want to host a Silverlight application in a custom field type, you will have to override the createChildControls method in the control class. There you can specify a number of init parameters that your Silverlight application needs to initialize itself, like, for example, the MSSP URL parameter. Then within the Silverlight application, if you need your Silverlight application to communicate with SharePoint 2010, you can use the client object model to retrieve that information. If you need to pass information from SharePoint to Silverlight and back, you can best use hidden fields and store that information in there. So for example, with custom field type, once you create a list item, then you will store a value in the Silverlight application, and to got it saved, to have it saved by a SharePoint, you can store that value in a hidden field. When you have a list item that needs to be edited, you can store the value in the hidden field and then pass the control ID of the hidden field to the Silverlight application. So you can use that kind of communication when the information is needed, in fact, to initialize your Silverlight application. My first demo is a custom field type. I will create a Silverlight application where you can pick a logo from different pictures stored in a picture library in SharePoint. Once a picture is selected, that will be stored in the column in your list. Okay, so this is the code. So first of all, the logo picker field type is my custom field type. This is the definition of my custom field type. The type name is logo picker field, and my parent type is text. So the result, which will be the URL to the selected picture, will be stored in my field. The rendering of that URL will be done through Silverlight. My class is the logo picker field and will be stored in an assembly that is defined here. So this is the class. It inherits from SP field text because I'm only going to store the URL to the selected picture. For the rest, there's nothing more in that class. Besides that class, I also have a control class. This class inherits from text field. There you will find the implementation of the create child controls. At the bottom of the class. I should have put it at the top. That would be easier for scrolling. Okay, so here is the implementation of my create child controls. As you can see, I define a hidden field, HTML field, in which I will store the values that need to be rendered by the Silverlight application and that Silverlight application can use to store the selected picture URL. Then I define the location of my Silverlight application. As you can see, I deploy my Silverlight application to the layouts folder of the SharePoint Hive. And then I define my init parameters. The first one is the control ID of my hidden field. This way, Silverlight can use this ID to retrieve the hidden field and to retrieve the value stored in it. The second parameter is the MSSP URL that is needed by the client object model to create the client context. The third parameter is the name of my picture library in which my pictures are stored. So if you take a look at the site that I prepared, I have here a Logos picture library. And this picture library will be used to show all logos that can be selected by the end user. Okay. The Silverlight application itself is created in the Create Silverlight Host method at the bottom of my file. And this is plain the way you define, in fact, your Silverlight application in ASP.NET pages. You need the object type and then specify width and height and the init parameters, the source parameter, where you can specify where you have deployed your Silverlight application. So this is everything that is needed in SharePoint to create your custom field type. When you go to the Silverlight application, when your Silverlight application is initialized, you can retrieve the init parameters in the startup method. You are going to check if you have a piclip attribute. If so, you can store the name of the picture library in a variable. The same goes for the control ID of the hidden field. This parameter will be explained in the next step, but as you can see, I don't retrieve the MSSP URL parameter because it will be retrieved and used by the client object model. I don't have to do anything with it. When I come in my Silverlight application page, you will see that I first initialize a synchronization context. I need this variable because I need to come back on the main UI thread when the Silverlight application returns with the result from the server. So I capture my synchronization context in a variable. And then I'm going to look if I have a selected picture or not. If I have selected picture because I'm editing an item, or because I'm displaying an existing item, in that case, that picture URL will be used to show the selected picture. If a picture library is passed to the Silverlight application, then it will populate my Silverlight application with all existing pictures in the picture library. Okay. Here is the creation of my client context. I can create a client context using the client context current. So as I already said, you will only have a valid client context when you pass in the ms.sp.url init parameter. If not, you will get a null value. Before you can use the client context and all other classes defined in the client object model, you will have to put a reference to the SharePoint client object model DLLs that are in the that can be found in the layouts folder of the SharePoint Hive. Then by scrolling down, I can show you the populate logos method, which will take care of sending the request to the server. So first I create my web and I load my web, and then I will retrieve my list, my picture library, using the name of the picture library I passed in the init parameters from within my SharePoint field type. Once I have my list, I can create my camel query. This can be from very basic to very to very complex, but this time it's a really easy camel query that will render all items in the picture library. And then you can go and execute the get items method on the list. And once you execute the execute query async method, your request will be sent to the server. As you can see, I pass in an event handler for when the request succeeds, and I pass in an event handler for when the request fails. When I scroll down, I will find these event handlers, these methods, which will post the result back to the main UI thread by executing the post method. When a request fails, I will only display a message telling that the request failed. But when the request succeeds, I will populate my Silverlight application with the pictures that are retrieved by the client object model. I have a class where I store the URLs. And then I will add the pictures to a collection, and this collection will be attributed to the Silverlight application. Okay, so we can see this in action by deploying my SharePoint application to the SharePoint site. By using Visual Studio 2010, you can deploy your SharePoint applications, your SharePoint solutions easily to SharePoint. First, you have to verify that you have the correct URL put here, and then you can right-click your SharePoint project and say deploy. Build failed. Komt dat daar? I think I copy-pasted something by error. Okay, deployment started. And the solution is added to the solution store in SharePoint, and my deployment has succeeded. So return to my SharePoint site. And I'm going to create a list. My list will be based on the custom list template. Happily, this template starts with a C, so I don't have to scroll to the end of the list. Okay. And I call it customers. My list is created. And then I will add a normal, a classic text field to it, and also my logo picker field. So I'm going to the list settings. My title field is already there, so I will create a column for the country in which my company is located. It's a single line of text, nothing more. And now I will add my picker field to it. I create a column also. I call it logo. And you will see that my custom field type appears here in the list. MSDN logo picker. Okay, there are no settings to set. I click OK and my picker is added to my list. Go back to my list. I'm going to do add new item. And you will see that my Silverlight application is rendered within my custom field. My company is AdventureWorks. It's located in the United States. I can scroll to the different pictures in my picture library. When I click on one, I select it. By clicking on the picture in the Silverlight application, the URL of the selected picture will be stored in the hidden field. And by this way, SharePoint can retrieve this URL from the hidden field and store it in the custom field. You see that the URL is here. It's a plain URL. You don't see the picture. If you want to view the list item, you will see the URL also. If I click edit, you will get again the Silverlight application. This is because we have overridden the create child controls. If you want to see your picture also in the view or in the display view, you will have to add some camel to the FLD types XML file. So we turn to our Visual Studio project. We open the XML file. And we will add a display pattern here. I've put the code aside so that I can easily copy-paste it. Paste it here. And you will see that in the display pattern, I define a Silverlight object. I pass in the source, which is my Silverlight application deployed to the layouts folder. But you will see a different init parameter here. It will only be the URL of the selected picture, because I don't need to scroll through all the pictures in the picture library, so I don't need that picture library anymore. I only pass in the URL of the selected picture. And here you can find the value of the selected picture. So when I deploy my custom field type again to SharePoint, if you paid attention, you have seen that Visual Studio 2010 automatically recycles the application pool for SharePoint. But when deploying custom field types, this is not enough, because the XML file is cached. So if you want to refresh the cache and have your field types file uploaded, your custom field types uploaded, you will need to do an additional EES reset. This will take some time. And once ES comes back again, I can press F5 to refresh my view. This will take some time because the site needs to warm up again because of that EES reset. So when the view comes back, you will see that the selected picture is rendered in the view. It's not there. I will add another one. I'm sorry. I will add the Contoso company. I should have been deleted I should have deleted this item because it contains the old way it was made. I need to find the Comptoso logo. Click save. That's not so good. It could be wrong. Oh, I'm sorry. Should have copy pasted it in here. I'm sorry. Okay. Well,
I'm too out of SharePoint to have seen it.
Yeah, okay. But when I deploy it now, it will be. Do you want me to go through it again? Because I have another an extended sample with also the logo shown in the view.
I'm and, sure people will
understand. Okay, so what I have done here, if I go back to the rendering of the Silverlight application, when I defined my init parameters, I passed in the picture and library hard-coded logos. Mm-hmm. You can also create custom fields with an additional settings section. When you add a field of that type, you will have an additional section where you can choose picture library. So I will add that project to my solution. And there you will see that there are additional data. For example, if I take a look at my XML file, you will see that there is an additional field editor user control with a control deployed to the control templates folder and called logo picker field editor control. So there I will define my section that needs to be shown in the settings page. And my control is defined here. It's a simple one. That only shows a drop-down with all picture libraries in the SharePoint site. So if I take a look at the code behind, you will see that the drop-down is populated with all picture libraries in the site. Here you can also define if you want to see your setting in a new section, in a separate section, or with all the other settings of a field. So I'm deploying this also to SharePoint. I check my URL. And I deploy it. Deploy succeeded. I return here. Okay. So I will have to remove this field first from the list. And then I need to do an ES reset again. So first I remove it. Yeah, it's already there. So now I'm going to add the new one. type MSDN logo picker, and you will see in the section managed metadata field where you could pick. If I would have more than one picture library, I would have mentioned them here, so I could pick one and say okay. Return to my customers list. We'll see, I add a new item. So it loads now the pictures from the selected picture list. I select another logo. And I save it. So now you will see the display pattern is placed in the correct place in the XML file. You will see it is rendered now here. Thanks to the camel rendering, you will also see your picture here. So if you need to show the picture in edit form or in the new form, then you have to override the create child controls in the control class. If you want to see the Silverlight application in the view or in the display form, then you can add the necessary camel in the XML file. If you would need extra rendering or validation information in the display form, you could override the render as display method. But if you don't need extra validation or rendering, you can base your display form on the camel in the XML file. So far, custom field types. You can also render, what you can also do now in SharePoint 2010 is create content types. You could do that also in 2007, but you could not add side columns based on a custom field type. But you can do that now in 2010. So here I have a custom, first my side columns. These are normal field types. This is my content type, I'm sorry. Where are my side columns? So here are my side columns. You see there are normal fields, side columns based on normal field types like text, date, time, perhaps number. At the bottom, you will see that there is also a side column based on my logo picker field, my custom field type. So now this is possible. Then I have my content type. My content type that mentions all my side columns that I created in my side columns file. You will see the logo here. And then I can create a list definition. I can take a look at the schema XML, which mentions that it works based on the content type. This is the ID of my content type, but I still need to repeat all my fields that are mentioned in the content type. There's nothing changed in here in 2010. This was also the way it worked in 2007. When you want to show up your fields in the view, then you will have to add the fields once again here in the view fields section to show it in your view. Based on my list definition, and this list definition can be used by different list instances. So based on my list definition, I can define a list template, which is defined in the elements file. Okay, so you see, this is my customer list template based on my list definition. And then I create a list instance to make it myself easy. And I mentioned that my list instance will have the URL MSDN customers and that it will be defined on my template number 10,000. So once again, I can deploy this to SharePoint. I will first check my URL. Okay, this is correct. I right click and I say deploy. Deploy succeeded. I return to my site. I return to the home page. Okay, and you see that my list instance is created, MSDN customers. And I'm going to create a new company, which is, once again, Contoso. And I can fill in a number of data. So, number one, start date. And I can again select my picture. Okay, my country. And I'll save it. What I wanted to show with this is that by creating custom field types, you can easily create content types like you did before. And by defining list definitions, all rendering is encapsulated in your custom field type. You don't need to do anything extra. So in my opinion, this is the way to go. If you want a Silverlight application rendered in lists, you need to create custom field types because there's nothing else to add afterwards. But to make the presentation complete, or if you would have a reason to not work with custom field types, I will show you how you can render Silverlight application directly in list forms, in custom list forms. So first I have to return to my slide deck. Okay, this was my demo. So as you have seen in my code, I always deployed the Silverlight application to the layouts folder of the SharePoint Hive. But there are different possibilities. If you deploy to the layouts folder, then your Silverlight application will be available to all developers and users on your SharePoint server. But you can also make your Silverlight application, you can limit the scope of accessibility to your Silverlight application by deploying your Silverlight application elsewhere. So for example, if you only want the Silverlight application to be available in a certain web application, then you can deploy it to the bin folder of your web application. You can also upload your Silverlight application to a document library and make it easily usable by the Silverlight application, Silverlight web part in SharePoint. But in that case, it will be restricted to your, the use will be restricted to your site collection or even your site in which you uploaded the Silverlight application. If you're working with master pages, you can also upload your Silverlight or deploy your Silverlight application to the master page gallery. But if you want your Silverlight application, if you don't want other users or developers to use your Silverlight application, then you can always deploy your Silverlight application as an embedded resource. You compile it together with your code, together with your application page or custom field type, and then you don't have to deploy it to another location. You will use the resource, how have I to say that, as a URL in your code. And then you're the only one that will be able to use your Silverlight application.
So if I understand correctly, you would deploy the ZAP file?
The ZAP file as an embedded resource.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. In my previous demo, you saw how to define a content type, a classic content type. If you want to deploy your content types, With customized list forms, you have to add the XML documents element to your content type. You will see that this element contains a form templates element where you can specify your custom forms. In this case, the three forms will render the signature form. If you want your display form to be the standard form, then you specify list form, which is the standard list form, and then you can only render the customized form for edit and new, and or new, depending on what you need to render in which case. So if you specify a form name here, you also need to create a user control, an ASCX control, that needs to be deployed to the control templates in the SharePoint Hive. You use the element rendering template, and you use as ID the same name as you specified in your content type. To render the standard fields, you can use the list field iterator control. This will show all your fields in your list or in your content type, but the one that you want to render Silverlight with, you will exclude using the exclude attribute here and specifying the field you want to exclude. Afterwards, you can render, then you can add custom rendering for your Silverlight application in your ACX control. But to be able to save the data that is selected in your Silverlight application, you will have to override the behavior of the save button. Otherwise, your list item will be saved without the extra information that is stored in Silverlight application. So now I will show you a demo where you can Silverlight signature, in fact, is added to your content type and to your custom list form. So first I will show you the code. First close my solution. You really need to know when to click where. Mm-hmm. Why doesn't it move?
Just a bit slow.
Yeah? Okay, I'll do it this way. Open. So I'm sure. And I select the third one. Okay, it opens. So my signature field is very simple. My signature Silverlight application is very simple. It's only an ink presenter on a canvas. That's all. If it wants to show, open. So you will see this is only the canvas, and you will see an ink presenter on it. Okay, here is the ink presenter. The code behind is a bit complexer because you need to capture a mouse down, a mouse move, and a mouse up, because the mouse up is the end of your signature. Also here, you will see, but I'll explain that later, that we work with a hidden element, a hidden HTML field. This is the same reason as within the previous demos, because when a signature is made, when you edit a list item, the signature in the list item will be passed to the Silverlight application to be able to render that signature, the correct signature. So for that reason, we need to retrieve the data from a hidden field. then my signature is initialized. So if there is data coming in, so if the value of the hidden field is filled out, it will be XML, it will be XAML. That XAML will be converted to strokes, and these strokes represent the signature. The other way around, when the signature is made, so first you have a mouse down, which starts the signature, then you have a mouse move that makes the signature, and a mouse up that finishes the signature. On that mouse up, the strokes that are made will be converted to XAML, and that XAML will be stored in the hidden field. Okay? So, I don't know if he will scroll down. So, for example, here is the mouse left button up, which puts the strokes in the signature property, and that signature property translates back to XAML, or from XAML to strokes. Okay, so this is the Silverlight application. Then we go back to our side columns and content type. So here I don't use the client object model because I use the hidden field to communicate with SharePoint. So this is the definition of my custom field. You will see it's only of type node, just multi-line, in fact, because I need to store more than 256 characters, and this can be done by a node field. Then I have my content type. These are the same fields as my previous content type, but an additional one, MSDN signature, that represents the signature that will be made in Silverlight. In this case, I don't have a list definition to show you the difference between more difficult when you skip the list definition. So I only have a list instance in this case. So this is my list instance. It's based on the custom field type represented by the ID 100. I specify my URL. And then I say that my list is binded to a certain content type. And that content type is the content type I just defined in this project. So in the previous demo, I had my content type rendered in my list definition. Because I don't work with the list definition, I bind my list instance to a content type. This is one difference in code. Okay, I'm going to deploy my project. Oh, I forgot something to explain. The next step, in fact, is the control. I have my signature Silverlight application, I have my content type, I have my side column, but I also have a control in which I need to render the custom form. So this is my user control, created by the Visual Studio tools for SharePoint. Here you have the definition of your rendering template with the ID that is mentioned in the content type. I scroll down to the list field iterator. And there you will see a number of controls you have to use in a custom list form. For example, the information bar showing certain buttons. You could also add controls for adding attachments, for showing a drop-down in which you can switch from content type and so on. These are all SharePoint controls that can be used on custom list forms. But what interests us more at the moment is the list field iterator and the rendering of the Silverlight application. So I scroll down and I come to my list field iterator. This one will show all my fields in my content type, which is the company name, the street, the city, the zip code, the country, except my signature field. Because for that field, I will do some custom rendering, which is placed behind. And here comes the rendering of my signature field. Again, a Silverlight host in a div, specifying an object element, the source, again deployed to the layouts folder, a width, a height, and certain init parameters like the ID of the hidden field in which I can store my signature, my XAML that represents my signature. I also have an enabled attribute because I don't want users to modify the signature once it is made. When you create your company in the list, you will be able to place a signature, but when you edit your list item, you will not be able to change it. So therefore, I pass an enabled argument. I placed my hidden field. Okay. Wait. So what you see here in the enabled, the value that is passed here is based on a property in server-side code. But to be able to define properties in server-side code, you have to add some inline scripts. You have to add your C-sharp code in here. It's not a problem in this case because this is the only code in your enabled property. I only check if I have a list item. And if I have a list item with an ID that is higher than zero, I don't want to make my signature changeable. So this is the only thing. But if you have to add more complex code, then it's not such a good idea to place your code in line because it's not so easy to debug. So another way around would be defining a custom control, for example, in this case, a custom hidden field. I'm scrolling down again. So here is a custom hidden field that I defined here in code. It's a server control, inheriting from a HTML input hidden field. And in here, I have a create child controls that contains all my business, all my validation code. So, and this is debuggable. So this is another way to work with custom list forms. So in here, you will again check if there is a list item, and if so, it will store the signature in a hidden field. Okay, then I'm through it. I'm going to deploy it. Have I checked? Okay. I'm deploying it. Okay, deploy succeeded. I return to my SharePoint site, to my home page. It takes some time because of the recycling of the application pool. You will see that my second list instance is created. But the only thing you will see now in the view is the title field. And this is because you didn't work with the list definition. We just bound the content type to the list. That's all. So if you want to show up your other fields in the view, you will have to add them in the list settings page. Okay, list settings. Scroll down to my view. I edit my all items view. Scroll down and I can add extra information like the company logo, the contract number, country, signature. I will not include because I have no rendering. I have no custom field type, so no rendering for the view. So. If I now click on item new, add new item, you will see that only the title field is rendered. And this is because you have two content types on the list. The initial item content type and my content type that has been deployed. So if I want to see my content type, I will have to return to the list settings again. These are extra steps that the user don't need to take if you work with list definitions. So I remove the item. And now my list will be rendered correctly. Add new item. I enter my company, Microsoft this time. Select Microsoft logo, the contract number, choose a date. I'm going to fill out everything, but when I scroll down, you will see my signature field. So I put something on it, I save it, and voila, here is my list item. If I would have added the signature field now to my view, you would have seen a lot of XAML because I have no rendering for the view.
Your story.
If you want rendering for the view, you can better use custom field types. So if I now going to view will not give you any display mode will not give you the signature neither. Think so? Yes, it will give your signature because I use the custom form also in my content type definition. But you see it's not editable. Mm-hmm. Okay? So this is how you can render certain fields using XAML. So if I return to my slide deck, in fact, there are two different ways to work with custom forms. Or you render only one or two of the fields using Silverlight, and for the rest you work with a classic form. In that case, you have to override the save button. But you could also replace the complete form by a Silverlight application. If you want something nice, something beautiful, then you can replace it with the complete Silverlight application, but in that case you will have a Silverlight save button, a Silverlight cancel button, which need to imitate the SharePoint behavior. So you will have to create your item in the save button or edit your item in the cancel in the edit form, using the client object model. In that case, you will have no list field iterator because you replace your complete form with a Silverlight application. So, what do you need to do at the site of Silverlight to replace your whole form? First of all, you need to retrieve the list item ID of your current list item in case you have an edit. In case you have a new, there is no ID. When you edit an item, I'll show you, that's easier. When you edit an item, you will see in the URL, where is it? No, it's not here anymore. You see at the bottom of the screen, there is a list ID, but you can't see the rest, that's a pity. Well, if you edit a list item, there is an extra argument in the query string that's called ID, and it has as value the item ID of the item that you want to edit. So what you can do at the site of Silverlight, that is retrieve the ID from the query string. Okay, return to my... I'll show you the code afterwards. Then to retrieve the list item that you want to edit, you use the client context again. And in that case, you need to pass the MS SPU URL again to the Silverlight application. If you want to create the list item using the client object model, you will use the list item creation information class, create an instance of it, fill it out with the data entered in the Silverlight form, and then pass it back to the SharePoint server. If you want to modify a list item, you will first retrieve the item to display the data. When it is edited, you will only do a list item update in it. I return to my code. And this is the last demo I will show you. Okay, I'll show you two things. That's the user control, where the rendering takes place. You see it has another ID, custom form. This custom form is also used in my content type. And then you will see that there's not a lot of SharePoint controls. There's only the rendering of the Silverlight application here. And there are no cancel and OK buttons, save buttons here. They are in the Silverlight application. So I'm going first to the app.xaml.cs file, because there I have the init parameters. I retrieve the URL of the current SharePoint site from here, because this is needed by the client object model. Here I retrieve the name of the list in which I want to store items or from which I want to edit items. So this will be my customer list. And here is the enable attribute that will say, that will tell me if I need to, if the signature can be modified or not. So when I show you the form, okay, this is my Silverlight application with all my controls in it, in a grid, and a save and cancel button. Here I will be able to upload an image. I will use isolated storage to store my picture temporarily on the client. And when the save button is clicked, the picture will be uploaded to my picture library, and then my item will be saved with the URL to that picture. So I will show you the code behind. The most important thing, I have to go back to my XAML file because I forgot to show something in it. I explained which attributes or parameters that are retrieved from the init parameters argument, but I forgot to show you how you could retrieve the list item ID of the selected item from the query string. So this is an option that you find on the html.document page. This way you can retrieve the ID and afterwards in the code behind retrieve your list item from SharePoint. So I go back to my code where I populate first populate my list item if one is selected. So if I have an item ID, I will retrieve the item from the server. So I get my list, which has been passed in the init parameters, and I do a get item by ID, because I only need, here in this case there is no camel query, because I have an ID of one item that I need to retrieve. So I execute the get item by ID method, passing in the item ID of my selected item. And then the execute query async method is executed again, requesting you to have defined an event handler for a successful retrieval and for failure. So when I scroll down, I have that operation succeeded method. The failed method always returns an error message, so there's nothing special to tell about. But the operation succeeded method will be used in 3 different cases. It will come back there if it has retrieved a list item. It will come back there when a list item is created, and it will come back there if a list item is updated. Taking different actions. So if it is retrieved, all data is shown in the grid using data binding. Only for the company logo and for the signature, I do some extra validation. I add some extra code to render the logo and the signature correctly. If I create an item or update an item, the only thing that you will see is a message: creation successful or updated. Okay, something I want to tell about data binding in Silverlight 4. In a previous version of Silverlight, when working with SharePoint 2010, you had to work with a converter, because your item returns with certain attributes, like for example a title or other fields, so you had to define a converter. But with Silverlight 4, you can use an indexer. So you define your grid to which your list item will be bound. And then when you take a look at, for example, the company name, the text box for the company name, you will see that my binding is done this way. So in Silverlight 3, you had to specify extra code to retrieve that that special property from the list item. So this is for SharePoint developers, this is a big advantage. Okay, I think, did I have it all? So I'm going to, now I go to my SharePoint code. So this was a Silverlight application. I have my content type with my forms. So this time I mentioned the customer form. And we have to say something else. I showed the user control already. So this time it's also done with the list instance. Eh? So it will be. But what we can do is add a custom list definition that will be easier to work with. A list instance is added. Oh, we'll only add the list instance. Then you will see a wizard where you can enter a number of data. So, for example, the name of your list instance, and I will call it. So all this wizard is driven by the Visual Studio 2010 tools for SharePoint. My list instance is based on item content type, on the custom list, sorry. And here you can specify the URL to which you want you to create your list, and this will be MSDN customer feed 3. And you can say if you can indicate if you want to add your list to the quick launch or not. Okay, now I'm going to deploy. It's the correct URL. Deploy. go back to my homepage, and you will see the third version of my customer list that appears. Which one is it?
Did you have two of them?
Yeah. So perhaps I didn't remove the code. Okay, I'll see it here. MSDN customer feature. Mm-hmm. I already had the list since I did. But I wanted to show the users how easy it is, in fact, using the tools. If you have to type in all that XML like you had to do in 2007, such a work. Sense. But in 2010, it's so easy to create all the necessary things, even in Camel. Okay, so first of all, I have to remove the item content type. I have to add some items to the view. I forgot my content type binding. To add my content type binding, it's no problem. So I'm going to allow content types. Mm-hmm. I add my system side content type. It's in content types. Which one is it? Feature one. Okay. Yeah. You know, you can add fields to your form. Company logo, country, apply. No signature, because otherwise you will have all that XAML. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now I'm going to add a new list item. Oh, it's that item content type that I haven't removed yet. Sorry. Now you see my list form replaced by a Silverlight application. So I enter a company name. This will open the file dialog where I can select a picture, not from a picture library, but from my folders, from my file system. Yeah. In country, Belgium, naturally, and my signature field. And here you see my Silverlight buttons to save and to cancel my list item. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, the creation was successful. And voila, it closes. To have that behavior, to close your form from within Silverlight, you have to add some JavaScript. I can show it. I had to add that JavaScript to the user control. So if I take a look here again, you will see a function at the top. And here I call the cancel pop-up, because list forms are now displayed as pop-ups in the context of your view. So if I do a cancel pop-up, my form closes. Otherwise it would not close. It would create a list item, but not close my form. So you see my item is created, and my logo is added to the picture library. So to resume, I selected my picture, I stored it in local storage, isolated storage, and then when the save button is clicked, my picture is saved to the picture library, and the URL that comes back is used to save my list item.